people are listening oftentimes because they're scared of something. You know, we got the pandemic going on, and that's pretty frightening. But I just want to make a note that just keep watching the news, because in about 2 or 3 months, they'll probably change it to an endemic, meaning that it's something that'll never go away. It's going to be something like malaria or hepatitis. We're always going to have viruses around that do this. And the big issue is the issue no one's even talking about. And that is that everybody that's been affected from it, and I don't mean every single person, but 90-some% of all the people that have had a really bad outcome all have a chronic disease. And the United States is the country that has had the worst response to it. And I don't mean the response of what we're doing about it, but on a personal level, we've had more people die and have terrible outcomes because we're the sickest nation in the world. For being the most, the richest nation and a country that prides itself on its healthcare, we have the sickest bunch of people in this country of anywhere in the world. And so those people, because all of our chronic disease is based on things that create a tremendous amount of inflammation, those people are having a inflammatory response to getting COVID-19 and then having a high mortality rate. And so what can you do about it? Well, it's basically just another sign that you have to start taking care of yourself. You can't depend on a healthcare system to give you a pill or to stop something, because the pills really just deal with symptoms. They don't deal with underlying issues. And right now, a lot of people don't realize that. Do you know that only 12% of the population in America doesn't have a metabolic disease? 12%. You know what that means? That means there's only 12% of us walking around that don't have the beginnings of diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, and all these chronic diseases that we just assume are natural when you get old. 12%. And you know, the latest statistic, which I like to make fun of because I'm thin, right? But before I tell you, half of Americans are overweight and a third of them are obese. So if you do the math, that's over 100 million people in this country are obese, right? But they're, according to statistics, in 20 years, there's only going to be 5% of the population that's not obese if we don't do something. 5%. I tell my kids, I only want to live for another 25 years because I want to be the only thin person left in America.
Yeah, there's a movie going around. It's black and white, and it's just going through New York City, and I think it's 1918.
Yeah,
and it's fascinating, just a window in time, going back and seeing the people moving about. And one of the things that just hit me was every one of them look like you, Roger. They're all thin.
Yeah,
not a heavyweight person there.
You know, I was sitting there watching. You know, this is really funny. I'm from a small town in Ohio, and there was a small town there called Hamler that hosted a polka beer fest every year, right? And this town didn't have more than 2,000 people, and they'd have 80,000 people come by in a weekend, right? And so, but they had this film on PBS one night from 1970, and I was sitting there watching it with my wife, and she goes, "Do you notice anything?" And I wasn't paying attention. She goes, "There's only one person dancing that's overweight." And that was 1970. You know, think about that. The things that have exploded in this country. You know, gosh, you know, you look at the statistics for COVID, and I think 50% of the people that have died had high blood pressure. You know, and high blood pressure is not an inevitable thing when you get older. It's just a symptom of your diet being mismatched with your own genetics. It's just eating a diet that causes inflammation. So you can change that. And you can change it quite quickly. You know, we're still in the midst of this pandemic thing and people are wondering what they can do. You know, you might, if you have a chronic disease right now, you know that it, there's a really good chance you could get rid of it in 30 days. Think about that, 30 days. Yeah. And I remember when Vital Balance came out, right? Back, I don't know how many years ago that was, but I was giving a talk on it in Washington State. And you recorded CD. And I just talked about what could happen if you changed your breakfast to something that was high protein and then just ate protein and vegetables for a week or so to get rid of your sugar cravings and what that would do to your metabolism. And I just gave a general talk on nutrition. Well, I got a phone call about 2 months later from a lady that had bought one of those CDs and gave it to her husband. And he didn't call me. He wanted to thank me, but he didn't call me because he didn't speak very good English, but he could understand English. He spoke German. And so she called to tell me that he listened to that that CD every day driving to work and coming home. And in 30 days, he quit eating sugar and just did what I talked about on the CD. 30 days later, he was off 6 different drugs. He no longer had diabetes or high blood pressure. Now, why? How could that possibly happen? Because his body was just manifesting that because of the food he put in it. And this is what happens with most type 2 diabetes. Your body is just naturally responding to what you put in it. And if you change what you put in it, it'll naturally respond in a different way. And, you know, it's just, you think it's just magical. It's, no, your body knows how to perform. It just performs depending on your mindset, you know, because your emotions have a lot to do with it. And it also performs on the fuel you put in it. It just reacts a certain way. And when you change it, everything changes in your system. I listen to so many medical podcasts and I've heard of, and these are not quacks and these are not doctors who are just in the health field, you know, that somebody that's doing, you know, wants to push vitamins or something. But the one of them has a clinic in, I think it's Toronto. And he talked about having a client that they were going to amputate his leg because of diabetes. And so, and he wanted everybody to know on the podcast, with diabetes, if they're amputating one of your limbs, you have a very, very low chance of being alive 5 years later. Because that amputation is due to the fact that your body's rotting from the inside out from too much sugar. So he talked to the guy and convinced him to go on a fast where he didn't eat anything but water for a week. And then he ate for a couple of days and fasted for 3 more days, ate for a few days, fasted for 3 more days, right? And he got into it because fasting was in the Bible. And the doctor says, I never thought anybody would get into fasting, but it turns out if you read the Bible, he goes, a lot of people, because they associate it with stories in the Bible, they'll fast, right? And so this guy, within a month, had no sores on his leg. And today, he doesn't take any medication for diabetes, and he's perfectly fine, and he has both his legs. And all he did was fast and then change his diet to where he was eating real food. Now, think about that. It's that is radical. In Western medicine, they never believe stuff like that's going to happen. But all he did was change what he was sticking in his system so his body reacted in a natural way. I was listening to another lady, and you know, I love functional medicine, which basically is medicine that takes a look at what's going on in your body and then tries to find the root cause and remove it. And a lot of clinics that do functional medicine, like the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, if you want to be a patient there, you got to agree to change your diet and lifestyle for, I think it's 12 weeks before you come in for your appointment. Because they don't want to see you if you're not willing to do something, right? And so you end up with a health coach that helps you do that. And they had a client, this woman who was on disability, diabetes, high blood pressure, you name it, she had it. Couldn't work. She was about 62 or so. And literally was spending $15,000 a year out of her own pocket to pay for her diabetes medication. And this is what happens to a lot of people. Above their insurance costs, they're going to have $15,000 to $20,000 worth of expenses a year, right? So she went on a different diet. And by the time she went in, most of her issues were gone. And they cleaned up a few other health items on her, right? So a year later, she had lost 110 pounds, was no longer diabetic, no longer had high blood pressure, got her job back, and right now she's teaching and going out on anthropology expeditions all over the world with classes of students. And she was disabled sitting at home in her chair. And all she did was change what she put in her system and changed her lifestyle. And so the power is there within almost everybody to do these things. But we think we've been drilled into our brains that we need to, you know, we're going to need all these drugs when we get older, and we're going to need all these things. And you might need a small amount of something, but nothing like the average person in this country that's taken six or seven drugs, you know, and basically becomes a slave to their pharmacy for the rest of their life. You know, it's just not a natural way to function. You know, look at you and I. You and I have both survived cancer. I survived the type of cancer that if I told a doctor today what I did, he would just assume that I was lying, because I got rid of something that's just unheard of, stage three bladder cancer that is only treated by surgery of removing your prostate and your bladder and making a new bladder out of your intestines. You know, when I heard that, it just didn't sound like fun, you know. And I didn't even decide that I didn't want to do it. I just thought I wanted to go home and study it. So I did. And 7 weeks later, it was gone. And this summer, it'll be the fourth year that I'm completely cancer free. In fact, my doctor tells me not to bother to come back to check anymore because I've never seen a bladder. You look like you got the bladder of a little baby, you know? So, you know, it just looks so fresh and new, you know? So, all I did was research a little bit what I could do for things that might have been pushing the growth of cancer and change my diet to a ketogenic diet. And I was even on a pretty clean diet anyway. You know me, I was eating pretty clean. But my type of cancer might have been something he told me I got in the 20s when I was farming and exposed to a lot of chemicals, which is very common, you know, type of cancer. And so he said it might have just took this long to develop because you ate so well and you became so healthy, you know. But so I got rid of it, and it's just unheard of, right? But again, you know, and now today I'm 65, you know, and I know you're almost 60. And so
I love you.
And so, you know, I don't have any chronic illness. You know, I can do just about anything I want. My blood pressure is about 107 over 65 or 70. And, you know, I don't do anything for it. And so it's really unheard of. In fact, you know, I remember going to a county fair and my kids wanted a Frisbee. And to get a Frisbee, you had to let them take your blood pressure. You know, the hospital was trying to get new customers. And when they took my blood pressure, they wanted me to list all the drugs I was on. I said, I don't take any drugs. And they go, you're kidding me. You know, well, geez, I was only 58. You know, what was I supposed to say? You know, I'm sorry. But, you know, it's just that we got to get back to realizing that, you know, our bodies are just responding to what we put in it and what we actually participate in, right? And so, you know, I love this one talk that Jeffrey Bland, he's a medical doctor, scientist, used to work with Linus Pauling, and he's considered like one of the fathers of functional medicine. But he said on his website that you don't realize that every 10 seconds, and this is the part I want everybody to understand, because every 10 seconds sounds like it's ludicrous, but it's not. Every 10 seconds, your bone marrow produces 1 million white blood cells. And it produces 23 million red blood cells and 50 million new platelets every 10 seconds. And all those cells are waiting to be programmed, right? They're waiting to be told what to do and what to develop into. And Jeffrey Bland says, what determines what those cells will turn into is your level of stress, outlook on life, and your diet. He says, and if you're always stressed out and highly inflamed, you'll tell your immune systems to cells, the ones that develop into immune system cells, you're telling them to develop the ability to become inflamed right away. So you're going to be susceptible to having a cytokine storm, just like in the COVID-19, right? You're programming your too. And this is why he goes, and the most important thing you need to know is that your immune system and all the cells in your body get programmed by your diet and your emotions. He goes, and we have this symbiotic relationship with plants. He goes, he brought up mushrooms. He goes, mushrooms are really good for boosting your immune system, but people overlook the fact that it's just their food. He goes, and plant food. Because every plant, like you look at Super Siaga, you look at all these berries in here, every one of those berries is high in anthocyanins. And what is an anthocyanin? I mean, it's a long word, but basically it's your plant or the berry's immune system. That's what the berry produces to protect itself from the sun and maybe bugs, right? It wants to have some little bitter thing that everything reacts to because they can't run away. You know, the raspberry plant can't run away. The blueberries can't run down the road to get away from anybody. So that's how they build their immunity. And when you take those into your system, it has this relationship of building our own immunity. Your cells, every 10 seconds, are being programmed by foods like that and by foods like and vitamins like the Kenzen Vital Balance. It's a plant food. And this is a plant food. Your body recognizes plant food. That doesn't mean you have to just eat just plants. You know, I'm not pushing a vegetarian diet or vegans or anything, but you need to eat a good proportion of your diet that's in a natural state and it's free from chemical additives and it's from plants. And when you do eat meat and you do eat seafood and that type of thing, that it comes from a source that it's clean. This is the whole thing about grass-fed beef. You know, everybody, a lot of people wonder what that's about. And I personally, I don't eat beef, but I never tell people not to eat it because all these foods have a benefit to your system, right? But grass-fed beef is different because a cow is eating just grass, right? A cow is designed to eat grass. It's not designed to eat corn. Corn, almost all cows are allergic to corn. Right. So when you see the sign says corn fed beef, you know that cow is sick. And this is why there's so many antibiotics used in the dairy industry, because cows get sick on corn and they have to have antibiotics every day to stay healthy. And this is why you have antibiotics in your food system. And this is why when you read the next time you read the news and it says super bugs, antibiotics can't touch it. You know, we got to develop new antibiotics because these bugs are so strong that we don't have anything to kill it if it gets in your system. Well, the reason is because most people are eating homeopathic doses of antibiotics every time they eat. It's in their meat. It's in their food supply. Right. And so a grass-fed cow isn't sick because it's eating what it's supposed to. And then it has the ability to take that green food, change it into energy, and then make its own muscle, right? It's a process similar to photosynthesis. You know how a green plant takes in sunlight and then makes chlorophyll, right? And that's photosynthesis. Well, human beings actually can do photosynthesis themselves by eating, but it requires eating green a certain amount of energy from the sun that's in green plants if we consume it. And then we go out in the sun and we can make energy then out of the sunlight. And that's why it's so healthy for you to get morning sun, you know, and 20 minutes of sun every day, because your body can actually make something out of it. But it's not going to do it if you're living on potato chips and junk food and not eating any green food. And so, you know, it's just another sign, just like the cow that eats green grass produces a food that's actually beneficial for you and doesn't create inflammation, or one that's eating an diet mainly of foods that it's allergic to produces something that causes inflammation when you actually eat it. And so it's not that hard to figure out why we have such chronic disease in this country. It's because of what we actually put into our system. And the great thing about having access to things like Siaga and having things like Vital Balance, you can actually get an idea of what it's like to feel like on a natural food diet, and then tailor the rest of your diet around that. And in a period of 30 days, your entire system could change radically just in that small amount of time.
That's amazing. A paragraph, well, actually a sentence that really stuck out and got me that I'll always remember, that said, food is an epigenetic modulator. And that's kind of a...
Yeah. You know, I heard a great quote the other day. It said, the food system that feeds everybody in this country never pays attention to health. And the health system that takes care of everybody never pays attention to food.
Wow. That's in my mind forever.
it doesn't make any sense at all.
Or maybe they do pay attention and there's some unholy alliance.
Oh, no, there is definitely a programming that goes on in this country on everything. I mean, we're programmed to think that we need to have cereal for breakfast and we have to do all these different things in health, and none of it makes any sense. You know, we're programmed to eat high amounts of carbohydrates, mostly from grains. Doesn't actually work. We're not genetically made up to do that. You know, but unless you go through the process of deciding one day to regain your health and regain your brain, you're just not going to be able to actually see past that. Because, you know, grains and the way they're processed have an incredible effect of creating chemicals in your brain that it's just addictive, just like a drug. Remember the other day when we were talking about wheat? Because, you know, I don't eat gluten, except once in a while. And I'll tell you why, because I have a lot of friends who are doctors who go on vacation to Europe, right? And I was gluten-free for probably no gluten at all for maybe 8 years. And now I eat gluten about, I'd say 6 or 7 times a year. You know, I'm not scared of it, but I only eat a certain type. And it has to be bread that's fermented, like a real sourdough, or it has to be some sort of flour from Europe. And I'll tell you why, because all the wheat in America has been genetically modified to have an excessive amount of protein and gluten in it to make better cooked, you know, breads and to make better noodles that hold up longer on the shelf, right? But it increased the amount of chemicals in it that the body can't digest. And so we have all these autoimmune diseases because it causes this disruption on how you digest food, inflammation, chemicals get in your bloodstream. And so all these doctor friends of mine go to Europe and they all laugh because none of them eat gluten because they're sensitive to it, but they spend 3 weeks eating pizza in Italy and never have a stomach problem. They come back here and eat some and they get a digestive issue if they have to quit, right? So now I only buy pasta from Italy for my kids when they want to eat it. And I have a pizza place in the neighborhood that imports all their flour from Italy. So I buy a 50-pound bag from Italy, from the pizza place, and my daughter makes bread out of it. Now, I don't eat that myself because I just don't eat bread very often. But I also go to the store. There's a store here that sells fermented sourdough that's been fermented for at least 48 hours. And I can buy that and eat it, and I don't have an issue with it. You know, so it's a difference on food supply, and it's really a shining example of what we've done here because we want to increase sales, and we're always increasing sales and all these different issues that you know, we're always looking for unique ways to use chemicals like Roundup. They now spray Roundup on crops before they harvest them because it makes them drier. Right. Well, I don't know if you know this, but Roundup, they now know blocks your body's ability to make vitamin D out of sunlight. So, I mean, think about anything else that's worse than that. You know, you can't even make your own hormones out of sunlight properly.
Vitamin D is associated with so many areas of metabolism. There's even
research coming out now that everybody that's passing away from COVID was extremely vitamin D deficient. You know, and a doctor said, well, that's not, can't be true because they had over 10 level of vitamin D. Well, 10 is just something that you need to have so you don't have rickets, you know.
I've heard if you're in sunlight, 1 minute will give you 1,000 units of vitamin D. Just 1 minute.
Yeah, you know, and then when you get in the shower, you can't put soap on the area that you just got most of your sunlight because it's an inner goes in your skin, and so just let water run over, you know, and you'll trap it and make more vitamin D. He goes, but you know, if you have Roundup in your system, which most people do, it starts to inhibit the enzymes needed to make that conversion. So it's just another way that, look, we're getting so far away from eating natural food and a natural lifestyle that, you know, we're just chronically ill. And yet, you know, you've been involved with Neekin for quite a while. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, especially 20 years ago, it just wasn't that, how would you put it, exciting to talk about drinking clean water and sleeping, right, on a mattress. And yet, laying down on one of those mattresses replicates kind of the earth energy, and all of a sudden your nervous system shuts down and you're not stressed anymore and you fall into a deeper sleep. And then nowadays, you know, fast forward 20 years, is everybody talking about now? Sleep. Everybody's talking about sleep. You know, you got to have sleep. You got to be in bed longer. You got all these different things, right? And it's all, you know, now it's come around to where it's the number one thing. They said, in fact, they're saying you can't exercise your way out of a poor diet and bad sleep. You know, so again, here you're looking at all these basics of lifestyle that you have to have. And, you know, you've been talking about it for 20 some years. Sleep, drink clean water, eat a great breakfast, have some antioxidants in your diet. You know, just look at the dose of chlorophyll you get out of jade greenzymes and how that interacts with your cells in the sunlight. These are the basic things you need just to be healthy. And then you just don't ruin it by going out and, you know, eating potato chips all night and going to McDonald's on the way home. You know, you can't supplement your way out of a poor diet. But boy, if you put those products into a body that's eating well, it just amplifies everything that you do. And that's really where you want to be. You want to be where you realize that everything I put into my system is really affecting the health of every cell in my body. And once you do that for a period of time, you don't even think about it anymore. I don't look at anything that's not really great for my system. I exist in my world anymore.
Well, you know, one of the things I think is really interesting is you get motivated and inspired by what you're talking about, and then just realizing hope, you know, the possibility that you could actually take care of some stuff yourself, some really bad stuff, if you just give your body what it needs. And then I just think some of these things so basic, like that person that called you and said thank you because you changed their whole life because they got off of sugar, and how KVB, you know, going protein first thing in the morning actually changes your brain chemistry.
Oh yeah,
so you're not eating like an addict, because sugar is an addictive drug,
and it's an addictive drug.
It's cancer food. It's not good stuff.
No, it's not good stuff, and I don't really like the taste of sweet anymore. In fact, I've been off sugar for so long, I can't even imagine eating something with it in it. It just tastes unbelievable. You know, but you have to realize how anybody can do it. You know, you think you can't because but that's the thought process everybody has when their brain is off a little bit. And that's why if you go through this process of just 1 week of having like vital balance with Siaga, just 1 week for breakfast, just have that for breakfast. Don't eat anything for a couple hours. Next meal, have a little protein and a bunch of vegetables. Eat that way for a week. Believe me, in a week, your brain will be starting to change and you'll realize this wasn't that hard. You know, this is not that hard to feel good. And it doesn't even have to be that restrictive, but the first month you have to put in the kind of work to it. And then you can lighten it up and do some other things. But you realize, you know, you're looking at someone who's gone through major transitions in his life. You know, I used to be a potato chip addict. And one day I just realized waking up in my chair at 3 o'clock in the morning, looking like a margarita glass, you know, with the salt all the way around my face. And wasn't just good for my health. I was running 10 miles a day and eating a 3 pound bag of potato chips. What sense does that make? So I just said, I'm going to go cold turkey. I'm not going to eat another potato chip, right? Fast forward, I'm at a picnic 22 years later and somebody offers me a potato chip. And I thought, gosh, when did I last eat a potato? And I realized it'd been 22 years. And was it disgusting? It was so gross. The oil is rancid. You can't taste rancid oil until you get off of oil like that, right? And then you taste it and go, oh my, I used to eat those things, you know? Same way with soda pop. When I was obese in my teens, you know, I weighed almost 270 pounds when I was 18. And by the time I turned 19, I weighed 142. So I dropped 125 pounds in about a 5 month period, right? And how did I do that? I stopped drinking soda pop, right? And so think about that, just soda pop. And I haven't gone back. I tasted a soda pop a few years ago and I thought, my gosh, how do people drink this stuff? You know, what is it? You know, but when I grew up, you know, probably you too, you had a soda pop maybe on Sunday. We used to get a soda pop when we won a baseball game, you know. So, but we never had
soda pops used to be 8 ounces too, and now they're 64.
Yeah. And it was a treat, but you never thought, well, that's something I'm going to have every day as part of my diet, you know. And so.
And regular food tastes so good. You know, what? One of the things, this stuff is such a deep color, and it tastes. I can smell it right now. It's amazing. Well, Valerie, we had an empty jar and she thought, so she grabbed a handful of almonds and went up to the tub to read and take a bath. And she said, they were just I'll just tell. she said those were the most delicious, exquisite almonds because they had that berry flavor, just kind of dusted on them. And so,
kind of dusting in it, yeah. You know, but eating natural food like that, it's just we have to get back to doing things like that. You know, if I want a snack, I eat walnuts. Walnuts are great for your brain. They're great for your heart. And they taste fantastic, you know. So that's what you got to do is little things like that to just get you around to taking care of yourself and realizing that. You know, I had this realization back when I first got into health. This was around the 80s, right? I had lost all my weight and I was, you know, getting off a bunch of bad habits and I got into health and I had an aunt and uncle come out and visit me in Arizona when I lived there. And they were both obese and they were describing all the places they went and saw in Arizona. And I was looking at the pictures and I asked them about it because they seemed to be far off. And they said, well, we're taking the pictures from the car because we never actually walked up to the places because it was too hard for them to walk.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, I was only 27 at the time. I remember thinking, when I get older, I don't ever want to be in a position where I see an Indian ruin a mile away and I can't walk up there and look around or go explore things just because I'm 60 years old and I've deteriorated. So I don't want to do it. I know that when I'm 80, I'll still be able to walk 5 to 10 miles and I'm not going to worry about it. You know, I'm not in particularly good shape now because I don't go to the gym so much, but I actually feel better now that I don't go to the gym. But which was quite a lesson for me that I was over exercising when I went. Now I exercise at home and I don't overdo it, and I just feel fantastic. But I know if somebody just showed up at my door and said, hey, we're going for a 10-mile hike, let's go, grab a water bottle, I could go. Wouldn't bother me, you know? So I'm in general health, I think. So, but that's just because of lifestyle and just because of the fact I didn't, you know, let myself develop something that I have to always be working on. And that's really the message to most people, that you have this ability through your own choices to determine your state of health and vibrancy almost at every moment. And so you have to take your power back from all the companies that advertise to you and all the companies that are always telling you what to do. Take your power back and just, you know, do what's good for you and see where you end up 30, 60 days from now. You know, 6 months from now, you could be walking away easily from your type 2 diabetes, from your heart disease, all these different things. Your body will unwind and take care of yourself. And if you need help, go find someone who will actually get into the root of your problem and correct it, and then move on.
Wow. We could end right there, but boy, I'd love to hear you for another hour.
I don't think my dog goodness. Would like that.
Yeah. It's such a blessing to have you as a friend, and you know, just hearing you again, just kind of remotivates you to just do great things, and you can do marvelous things. I was listening to a podcast, it was actually several years ago. I got to see if I can find it again. I don't remember the numbers, but it was from a university, and it had all of the people that had to do with health at that university, professors of, biology and nutrition, also sports and exercise physiologists, you know, all the whole gamut. They just got together and they talked about health. And the thing that stuck in my mind is they decided to do an experiment, and they went to an assisted living center. And I don't remember the numbers, but it was a bunch of men and women all above 90, and they completely optimized their exercise and their nutrition. And everyone responded very well. And some of them actually so much so that they decided to leave and go back home and live on their own. And wow. So you can actually be younger next year.
At any age. And it can show up within a week. Your test will be completely different in a week. Now, it takes a lot longer to unwind a lot of things, but still within a week, your body's, it's getting a different program. So Dave, before I want to go, I want to make a plug about something.
Okay.
One of the greatest things about belonging to a company like you do, right, mm-hmm. is not that you can buy some great products and all that. That's kind of a bonus. But the great thing about it is that you end up in a network of people that all have similar visions, and they're all supporting each other. It's like your group of friends, right? There's always someone there to lean on. There's always someone there to talk to. And there's always someone who has an experience to share with you that can help you and that you can learn from. And if you look at Dave right now at the library behind him, you know what's really interesting about Dave is that he's probably actually read those books.
I feel smarter when they're there.
he's actually probably read all of them, and he's a wealth of information, and you all have access to it, right? And there's a bunch of people like Dave in your company that have a wealth of information that you can tap into. And that's really the blessing about being involved with things like this, because you're not alone. No matter where you're at, you're not alone. You're not sitting off somewhere in a town where nobody else gets you or gets what you're doing. You have thousands of people that are just like you, and they just want to make the same commitments, and they want to make the same leaps of faith, and they want to just move forward and change their life. And all of that ability and all that all those things they want to do, they have access to it because they have access to you and you have access to other things. So take advantage of that while you're in it, do it. You know, take advantage of things and the people that you know and the people that are now your community. Look at it as your community, not a company. It's your community. And take advantage of everything it has to offer, because really it's that friendship and that ability to find information and to tap into it that'll be the greatest gift that you get out of everything.
Well, let me say something. I'm just looking at all the chats, numerous chats, and pretty much they say, thank you for sharing with us, Roger. We love you. And I sure love you, and I appreciate you having the friendship that we have together and just the difference you make. And I, a lot of people are listening to this live, and I know a lot more will listen to it. And I'm going to listen to it again, too. So it gets you excited. What we do repeatedly, it becomes a part of us. And hearing good things like this helps us do good things like this. So let's go and do and share.
Yeah, it is. You know, you have to feel connected, especially in a time like now where everybody's disconnected. You know, and everybody's scared, and there's really nothing to be scared about, because the thing that you can do now to help you with what's going on in the country is right in front of you in your next meal. The key to surviving the crisis we're all in, everybody's looking for a magic bullet, but the real key to it is the next meal you eat and the meal you eat after that. Eat for the next weeks and months, and how your system changes to where if you do end up with getting exposed to something, your body is no longer fighting itself. It's fighting what is coming into it. And it's really good at doing that when it's not wasting all of its energy fighting your last meal.
That's right. Viruses are always going to be with us. In fact, they're all already a part of us, really. So,
yeah, we wouldn't be who we are without a good virus.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, and Roger especially. This has been a treat. Hope we can do this again soon.
All right, Dave. It's been fun. I'll see you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.